Well, good morning, Harvest family. We are so glad you're here this morning. Looking forward to getting started this morning. It's so good to have some of our new visitors as well as some return visitors this morning. We'll recognize some a little bit later in the service. Make sure you get by and greet our visitors during our shake hand fellowship time together. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask the Lord's blessings before our choir sings for us this morning. Father, we are truly grateful for the privilege and opportunity to be here today. We do ask your blessings, your guidance, your protection, your help in this service today. I thank you for the visitors that are with us today and those that are returned visitors. I pray the word of God would speak to their hearts. They would be encouraged thereby and encouraged by the fellowship and worship of those around them. Father, I pray that you'd help me today, Father. Help me as I preach and teach. Help me to preach with boldness, with power, without compromise, Father, delivering the word of God. And Lord, again, we are just so grateful to be here this morning. Bless our choir. Help us to prepare our hearts and minds for worship today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Across the wounds of love, at the cross.
right, I got a couple announcements here. And so actually, Brother Dave Smith is going to come right after the announcements before the next song and give a announcement as well. And next week, Brother Dave will be giving a prophecy update next Sunday morning. And we'll work that out every couple first Sundays of the month. And we'll be working forward going through that, changing somewhat from a Middle East to more of a prophecy. And as he sees fit, how it ties in the current events, that'll be next week. And then Brother Dave will come with some other announcements about ushers and greeters here in just a few moments. So good to see our visitors here this morning. See if I can get this right. Good to see the T family back with us, all the way from moving here from Alabama, and seeing Zeke and Liz. Zeke coming from Albuquerque, is right, and then Liz from Phoenix. And then Hunter back there from North Carolina. A southerner is going to invade you folks. Right at a southern pastor. Hopefully we'll get some more folks from the south here. I asked Hunter, can you shout amen with a twang? I don't think he's ever been asked that. I think that's the only way he knows how to talk is with a twang. But so good to have you with us this morning. Those others are visiting with us as well. And, of course, our return visitors, we're glad you're here. Let's not forget about our morning time. If you can make it, gentlemen, we have men's prayer on Sunday morning before the services in the morning at 8:30 before Sunday school. Sunday school starts at 9. We have a class for the men as well as for ladies, and working on getting also for the kids if kids come. So you join us for Sunday school. Don't forget choir practice this afternoon here in the auditorium at 4:15. And let's see, it also, visitors, do me a favor. Later in the service, we'll be taking up an offering. All that I ask you to do, if you would, is fill out a visitor's card and put that in there. We greatly appreciate it. I'm not going to show up at your door and knock on it without calling you first, but we'd appreciate you doing that. If you'd like a visit from the pastor, you can note that on there. I'd be happy to do that, spend some time with you. We want you to know more about the church and therefore more about the pastor, so I'm going to give a plug here. I don't know your background, those of you visiting with us. I know you from other areas, from other parts of town. Some of you from Mexico, some from the south, southeast. We are an independent Baptist church. What that basically means is we make our decisions. We don't have a denominational headquarters. We make the decision of what we do with the money that is given here as a local assembly. We are a missions-minded church. We support 22 missionaries. We'd like to do more as we have opportunity, but we're working on that. And I'm the new pastor. I've only been here a couple of months, and encouraging, we've seen some church growth. We've also, to be honest with you, had some folks leave. Whether I rubbed them the wrong way or other things the Word of God did, I do not know. But we're glad you're here, and if you've got any questions, please feel free to ask. I try to make myself very approachable, and I don't take questions from the audience. Yes, my love. A couple of years, right, isn't it? I said, okay, it just seems like 2 months. It just seems like 2 months. Two and a half years. And we're still on our honeymoon. And so, and by the way, that was my wife that interrupted me, for those who didn't know. Better known as Princess. But so anyway, we're glad you're here. And I really do want to get to know you, you young couples. I'm going to do something I've never done before. When I came to the church, and everyone will tell you, it was predominantly middle-aged to older folks. We've seen some growth, seen some younger families. I think it's good for our young families. Let me encourage you. Don't look around and say there's not a whole lot of people like me or my age, just a few people. Because if that what draws you to church, you're coming for the wrong reason. Church, it should be for the preaching of the Word of God. So let me help you. If you're 40 or under, would you please appease me and just stand for just a moment? And please tell the truth. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look around. There are some people your age, okay? This was not here. This was not here 2 years ago. Did I leave somebody out? Kate, did I leave somebody out? How many years was I off? Okay, 41. Go. All right. All right, you may be seated. We didn't have this 2 years ago, but I wanted you, for a couple of reasons, I wanted you to see each other. Look for other young couples. Look for couples your age as well. Get to know them. Let me do something else. I'm going to take a little more time this morning. It's okay. If you've been saved, you've trusted Christ as your Savior in less than a year, or baptized within less than a year, would you please stand? We've got at least one in the nursery as well. Saved and or baptized, or they need to be baptized. Okay. So this is what we're about. Okay, you may be seated. We're doing our best to reach young couples, and I can encourage you. I raise 4 kids. We have how many grandchildren? A bunch of 12, 13 grandchildren. And guess what? They're all still living. So I have something I can help you with as a pastor with a young couple. We have a growing nursery, which we're excited about. And I will promise you this, those of you who are visiting with us, those of you return visitors, I will be as much a part of your life as you will let me. I will try to be a part of your life. If I get the stiff arm, I may back off and try again. But I think a pastor should be part of your life, should be there to help and encourage you, mentor you, and help you in any way that I can. I can give you a lot of stories and a lot of examples on how not to do it as a young couple with a young family. I also tell you some things of how to do it. My background is military. I spent time in the U.S. Army, spent time on the mission field for over 20, almost 30 years, and pastor here at Harvest Baptist Church for 2.5 years. We have a desire to see our church grow, but numbers, it's not the greatest importance. What is important to me is that you grow spiritually. You take the next step. So if you become part of our church family, don't be surprised if I ask you, when I know you're saved and you know you're going to heaven and you have followed the Lord in believer's baptism, I will ask you, won't I, Sam, how are you doing in your discipleship book? Well, yes, say it louder. Yes, you will. I will encourage you. I will challenge you. Will I not, Brother Ruby? Yes, right, because I want to help you to be godly men, ladies to be godly wives, and my wife will want to be a part of your life as well, because it's not about filling the seats, though that is important because that means people are hearing the gospel, but it's about you growing into the spiritual man and woman that God would have you to be. That's my role and place as shepherd. Sometime I have to be watchdog, and today I might be a little bit of that. But anyway, I do love you and I care about you, and we want you where God wants you. If this is not your cup of tea and you're not sure Harvest is for you, tell me. I'll offer you something you may not hear. I'll help you find a church home. It's that important for me to know that you're in a church somewhere plugged in serving God, because it's important. I'm a little biased. I don't think you'll do any better than Harvest, but that's me. Amen. So let me go on with my announcements. Don't forget our evening service tonight at 6, and we continue on with a doctrinal theme, and we'll talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. And then our coffee's fellowship. Gentlemen, if you have your pencil or pen or your phone to make notes, our men's coffee fellowship Tuesday morning at 8:30. We'll be with coffee and donuts. We'll begin a Bible study discussion about 9 o'clock. And then at Psalm 92, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 6. And the question I will pose to you is, how healthy is your praise life? How healthy is your praise life? We'll talk a little bit about praise on Tuesday morning. As again, men, most of the time the men lead the conversation, the fellowship around the table, and I intervene and get involved as little as possible unless I need to get things moving. But here of lately, I have not had to do that. Amen. Our midweek Bible prayer on Wednesday night is 6:30, and we'll continue in the book of 2 Samuel. Finish up chapter 24 on Wednesday night. And don't forget, Monday morning, we have our women circle of prayer, women of prayer here in the auditorium, 8:30 Monday morning. And our Singspiration is coming up on August the 31st. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Please sign up, whether you're going to play an instrumental or whether you're going to sing a special music, and we'll give you more details. If you'd like to know more about Singspiration, just ask me. Look forward to that. All right, Brother Dave, you'll come and be as brief as you can be, but thorough as you can be as well.
Well, I feel a preaching spell coming on, but I'm not going to do that. So, thank you, Pastor. Pastor recently asked me if I would lead the ushers ministry, and so I do want to do that. And we've talked a little bit. You know, one of the things I'd like to do is to make this ministry a little bit more organized. The Bible says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And so what I would like to do is I would like to have an ushers, I'm going to call it an ushers and greeters meeting right after the Sunday morning service this coming Sunday, a week from today. Okay, and we'll just, we'll meet right here, I guess. And so what I would like to do is I would like to have, you know, everybody that is currently serving as an usher to be here for that. And then I would like to invite anybody who is interested in potentially serving as an usher or a greeter. I'd like you to be here. Now, you might say, well, yeah, but I don't know what to do. Okay, well, after you complete 8 weeks of our rigorous basic training, you'll know what to do. But no, actually, I'm just kidding. You know, this is an opportunity to serve. And, you know, and you know, just come, even if you're not sure, that you want to serve. You know, you just want some information. You'd like to find out a little bit about it. I would encourage you to be here when we meet after the Sunday morning service next week. I'll answer all your questions. And this is open for, you know, any of the men or young men. You know, we have, you know, I would like to have teens and even younger serve as greeters. We need to train our young people for service. And so so that's really important. And so, and you know, if you're saved, but maybe you're not a member, that's okay. If you're interested in serving, okay, I had an old preacher tell me one time, we're saved to serve, we're not saved to sit. So I would just encourage you to be here. We'll have a little fun, and we're going to do this for the Lord. So definitely would like to see you here on Sunday next week. Thank you very much.
Guys, to be involved in ministry, kind of your first step of being involved in ministry and where you grow from there, let me encourage anyone, even if you're visiting, you're not sure about what you want to do, come to the meeting next week. Maybe it might help you to make a decision about being involved in our church. And Sam, I expect you to be there. Robert, I expect you to be there. Jacob, I don't know you well enough yet, but I halfway expect you to be there. All right. So I want you to get involved. You have a ministry. You won't necessarily be doing it every week, but we'll find some way to plug you in where you can give back, you can serve your church family, and it gives you an opportunity to get to know the names and know the other families in the church because you're interacting with them. It'd be wonderful to have a young couple and to be greeters one Sunday morning. Got husband and wife and little girl. Hey, there's a little girl right over there. Yeah, just being involved and helping greet people as they come in and get to know folks and get to know the church family. Our church family get to know you. And as Brother Dave said, help our young people, even younger children, to learn to serve as they grow in the Lord and as they grow physically as well. Thank you, church, so much for your generosity and your obedience unto the Lord and your giving, your tithes and offering. Again, I'd like to ask our visitors today, please, the only thing I ask you to today and put in the offering plate, if you don't mind, is a visitor's card. And if you were here a previous Sunday, maybe did not put one in, I'd appreciate it. If you've been visiting and you've moved, I would appreciate an update on your address and contact information just so we can send out a letter. You will get an email or a letter in the mail, depending on what you put on your visitor's card, just thanking you for the visits. And there's a place on there that you can notate if you'd like a call or a visit from the pastor. I'd like love the opportunity to get to know you better. I'm willing to buy the first meal, the first cup of coffee, or whatever it may be to get a chance to sit down, talk with you, and get to know you a little bit. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Mel, would you ask God's blessings upon our tithes and offering this morning, please?
Thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be able to come into your house, a house of prayer, a house of worship, a house that's bound together by the unity of your Spirit, Lord. Now, we just ask that you would accept these offerings, these gifts that are given back to you from what you've already given us, Lord. Just use it to bring you praise and glory and honor, to grow your kingdom, to grow your family, Lord. Thank you that you promise us that your word will never return void, just as anything that's given in your name will never return void. It will always be to bring you praise and glory and honor, to shine your light, to be salt, to be your little Christ, your ambassadors for this world that sometimes seems so dark. And thank you, Lord. Thank you that as wonderful as this world can be, as the wonderful good gifts that you give us, because you are a loving and good God who wants to give good gifts to his children and who loves us all so much that you could give good gifts to those who even don't love you, Lord. Let us be more like you, and thank you that this is not our home, that what you have prepared, Lord, who fellowship with you, is so much greater than we can even to imagine. Now let us just have that kind of awe, that kind of admiration, that kind of love for everything, everyone around us, Lord. To truly humble ourselves before you, Lord, when we realize what an awesome, powerful, loving, wise, merciful, compassionate, long-suffering God you are, Lord. And just let us truly turn everything over to you, realizing that you love us so much and you're so much wiser than anything that we can do with our life, Lord. So just be with our shepherd. Let him be your spokespiece, Lord. Just speak through him. Let our hearts, our minds be the fertile soil that you would plant your seed in, Lord, to bring much fruit. And we ask all this in your name and according to your will, Lord.
You are visiting with us for the first time or the first time in a while. This is kind of a time that church traditions had before I became the pastor, and I like it, but the men basically come as I pray for the men. They pray for me, and we pray for our church family that God work and move in the service, not only in the preaching, but throughout the week as we serve the Lord together. So join us, if you would, as we go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings today. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before thy throne, we are so very truly grateful for the privilege and opportunity to come before thee. And Father, with head bowed, knee bent, whether it be physically or spiritually in our hearts and mind, Father, we come before thee asking thee to do something that only you could do. Father, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. Father, I pray that Christian, Lord, who's been struggling or and having some difficulties, they would be challenged and encouraged to get back on track, to serve and live for the Lord as they should. Father, I pray for our visiting families that are here today and friends that are here today, that you would speak to their heart and guide them and where you'd have them to be plugged in and to serve. Whether it be here at Harvest or if their search will continue, Father, I want them to be where you want them to be. But Father, I pray, Lord, if it be thy will, it would be here among us. Father, I pray that those who have trusted the Lord recently and need to be baptized, they would continue to prepare, speak to you about that opportunity of following the Lord and their first step of obedience and believer's baptism. Father, I pray that you'd work in their hearts. Father, I pray that you would help us as a congregation to listen to the preaching this morning with listening ears, that we may respond according to thy sweet Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for our men this morning, our Harvest men. I'm so grateful for them, for their support, their encouragement. And I pray your blessings upon them. Guard their heart, Father. Guard their tongue. Guard their eyes and ears. And help them to be the men that you would have them to be, whether it be at home, here at church, in the work community. Bless them and use them. Help their testimony to grow and be impactful and influential in the community that they live and the place that they work. Father, we thank you for our ladies and how grateful we are that they strive to be Proverbs 31 women, to love their husbands, to love their church family, to love you, to love their church, Father, and serve. And we are so grateful for them. We thank you for Brother Cherry and others who are involved in children's ministry and our nursery, Father. We're so grateful for them preparing and taking the time to minister to our boys and girls that they might be saved from a life of sin as opposed to out of a life of sin. Bless our nursery ministry, our children's church, our Sunday school hour, Father. And Father, now, again, please help me this morning. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech as I preach and proclaim the Word of God. Be with our ladies as they come in just a moment to sing for us, that you'd help us to prepare our hearts and minds as we prepare for the preaching of the Word. And Father, again, we ask you to do what only you can do. Father, please have free reign. I encourage each and every one of our folks that are here this morning and just whisper a prayer and say, Lord, speak to my heart today and help me to be obedient when I hear the Spirit speak to me. Father, again, use me, we ask, in the precious name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Children's church may be dismissed. Boys and girls, if you'd like to go out to children's church, you can go at this time. If you have your Bibles tonight, before we have our special music, 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 as we did last week, and I'll give a little more of an introduction. I enjoyed myself last year with the bonus session of the sermon. I trust you did as well. I enjoyed it so much, I'm going to tack on a little more this morning, so we'll stay in verses 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 4, and before our special music, let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yeah.
How true the song rings, trust His Word. Dear friends, we have the Word of God before us there in our laps. If you have it on your phone or tablet, whatever you may be using, we can trust His Word. And that's why I encourage you to have your Bible, to have it open, to listen attentively. If the Scriptures happen to be on the screen, take notice to make sure what the preacher is saying follows what the Word of God is saying. I don't look for things in the Word of God to follow what I want to say. I follow what the Scriptures say, and we should do the same. So we are to trust His Word. I got to thinking this morning, and this is free, it's not in the notes, and you have a handout. Don't fear. I know that I'm normally in the pulpit 10 or 15 minutes earlier than I am this morning. I will not necessarily preach as long as I normally do this morning. It'll be a little ambitious for me to try to get through all 14. So if you want to just fold that in half, we'll see if we can get through just 7 of those questions today. And I'll add a little more meat, a little more to next week and finish it up. But part of that time of being a little later is my fault because of adding some things and talking, which I don't regret at all. And I'm going to add a little more, so we might not even get through 7. I just want to do what I feel the Lord had me to do. When I pastored with the military, we had a young couple named Joe and Naomi. And I don't know why they're on my heart this morning, but they are. Joe and Naomi became very special to us. And I remember when they, and we still stay in contact. I still hear from them. When they left, they said, "Preacher, Michelle, pray for us." They wanted children, had no children, and now they have 4. And we're so excited for them, and they live in the Northeast. But I remember the first time they came. Joe was an MP, and Naomi, a very quiet, young, beautiful young lady. I always tease Joe that he just got lucky and caught her in a weak moment because she's too pretty for you, buddy. But anyway, they came in, and Joe had been involved in church, in a church like us. Naomi had always grown up in a house church. She had never been in a full big church, always a house church. Joe had been in and out of churches, mostly smaller churches, and like ours was smaller, but they grew up in the Northeast. And when they came in, they were very happy and very kind, and he had that northern drawl, except when he sang. When he sang, he sang. He sounded like he's from East Tennessee. It was amazing. When he would sing, he sounded country. But when he talked, he sounded like a Yankee. But anyway, they're in the first service they came. It was one of those services where the preacher was just on it. I mean, I probably preached 45 minutes an hour that morning. And I was just, the Lord just helped me. I was just on it. And they stood there the whole service like this. And after the service, I went by and greeted them to go, "Preacher, we ain't never heard nothing like that in our life." And I said, "Well, what does that mean?" "We're used to a small group and just sitting around in a circle and have a little Bible study." He goes, "I don't know what you did at the today, but boy, it's sure something I never heard of. We'll be back next week." And we got to know them. They both were saved, and they became a part of our congregation, been friends through the years. And I say all that to say this. The first visit that I went to visit with them, didn't know them other than the common ground and meeting and them being shocked by the preaching and never seen anything like it before. I went by and I visited with them and knocked on the door, visited with them, spent some time with them. I was there about 30 minutes and I looked at Naomi and I said, "I'm a Southern boy and I know you Yankees are different, but I've been here 30 minutes. You haven't offered me a glass of cold water or nothing." Now, that's kind of forward, but I felt the comfort of getting to know them a little bit. Her husband started laughing. And then she got up and got me a glass of water. And now from that day forward, going forward, anytime we're together anywhere, she brings me a glass of water. It doesn't matter where we're at, what's going on. She goes, "Find a glass of water somewhere and brings it to me." And she still calls me preacher. He still calls me preacher. And she'll bring me that glass of water. That's the type of relationship that I try to build with my church family. Young people, that's the kind of relationship I want to build with you and be a part of your life, to cut up, to tease a little bit, but I also get serious. And you're going to see that in a minute when I step back up on the platform. But we've read our text this morning, and I want to encourage you. And some of you, of course, were not here last week, some of our regulars and some of our visitors, but I preached out of 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and we talked about how this world is just messed up, how we live in a messed up, strange, confusing world. And I close out the message about being overcomers. Though the world may be messed up, we are overcomers that are on the winning side. We know the Lord's going to return. We know the Lord's going to take us home one day. So we are on the winner's side. So today I would like to encourage you in that same area, but give you, it says 14 questions, but we won't get through all of them today, but 14 questions to check our overcomer status. What is your status as an overcomer? Do you see yourself as a overcomer? I am facing a challenging world, but I'm optimistic. I know God is on my side. I'm ready to move forward, ready to be used of the Lord, ready to be involved in some way in my church and how I can make a difference in the world that we live in. So I trust that this will help you, give you clarity in this confusing, messed up world that we live in. So here we go. Number one, is my body in subjection? That's the first question we should ask ourselves. If I'm going to be an overcomer, I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to live for God, the first thing is my body, my mind, but we'll talk about the body first, needs to be in subjection. See, having willpower, self-control, and discipline means that you can say no. Example, I stayed out of the chips aisle and the ice cream aisle for the last 8 months. And those who are visiting, I've shed a few pounds. If you want to see how big I was, go on the website. I think the picture's old. But I stayed out of there because it's hard for me to say no. So I didn't walk down the aisle. The other day, we were on base. Oldest granddaughter in the area is coming to stay with us. So I reached out to Mom and says, what is Kaylee's favorite snacks? And wouldn't you figure, ice cream, candy, and chips. So there we are in the commissary, and I knew I had to say no, and I told Michelle, well, I'm going to go down there and grab some things from Kaylee. Let me tell you, when I walked down that candy aisle, the Reese peanut butter cups was yelling my name, but I kept right on moving. Some chips and Doritos was yelling my name, but I just kept on moving. I found a little candy that she likes, some type of peach-flavored rings or something. And then I went down to the chips aisle and walked all the way down the aisle looking for the chips that she wanted. Couldn't find them. I had to turn and come back. And all the while I was saying, no, 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 because I can't eat that stuff. I've been off of it for a year. I'm not going back. I'm not doing that. And then I found her salt and her vinegar chips. I went to Michelle, put it in the bag and said, okay, that's done. And then I thought the ice cream. Well, I don't know that I can say no, so she ain't getting ice cream this weekend. So I didn't even walk down the ice cream aisle. But part of us, spiritually speaking, and being in subjection, we've got to learn to say no. We got to say no to temptation, no to the flesh. Saying no to wrong desires and emotions of the flesh means that you have your body in subjection. Not just physically, but spiritually is the main thing. Beloved, do you have self-control? Do you have a number to call? Do you have someone to talk to help you when you're struggling in your spiritual walk? Do you have that call that you can make, that person that you can reach out to and say, hey, I need you to talk me off the ledge. I'm struggling. I don't need to go there. It's important. That's part of being and having your body under subjection. It's not just saying no yourself, but when you struggle, you have a mentor or someone that you can call. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible tells us in verse 27, But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul says, yes, even I need to keep my body into subjection. Consistent discipline, physically or spiritually, helps us to move forward without always starting over. Stay clean, get clean, stay clean, strive, hang around people, be with those that will challenge you and ask you the hard questions and encourage you. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 12. Neither yield ye your members as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Yes, it is better that you can conquer your own flesh, your own struggles, than it would be to conquer a city. It's better to have self-control, your body under subjection, that you might serve the Lord more effectively. I've had some of you men, not just here, in previous ministries as well, come and say, Pastor, pray for me. I know that God has been dealing with me. I've got some habits I need to give up. And they might name a few of them and say, pray for me that God will deliver me and help me to get this thing under control. And friends, that's how you start in doing that. You admit it, ask for prayer support, prayer accountability, and say, Lord, help me to conquer this temptation. Help me to conquer this thing of the flesh that is pulling me down spiritually. I read where we have 20,000 thoughts every 24 hours. Brother Mel, would that be general or male or female? I don't want to get you in trouble. But I read somewhere, imagine that, 20,000 thoughts every 24 hours. If that is true, I can better understand Paul in 2 Corinthians 10:15 as he encourages us to control our mind. He says in 2 Corinthians 10:15, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Dear friends, both physically and spiritually, it is easier to stay in shape than it is to get back in shape. I kick myself, and I'll stick on the physical end, I'll pick on myself. I would imagine in my lifetime, I have lost about 140 pounds. But I keep gaining it back. Not all of it, one whack, a little here, a little, that seesaw effect. And I've realized things have changed. I've had knee replacement. I can't play racquetball anymore. I can't run like I used to. Now I'm walking and swimming and exercise and giving up some other things to help me. But what I had to do is I had to make adjustments in my mind physically in order to do what I felt that I needed to do to overcome and have my body in subjection physically. Then now, spiritual side. Now that I've just made a decision as a teenager to serve the Lord, now that I made a decision as a young married man to serve the Lord and go into ministry as God has called me, guess what? There's some other things that I've had to give up. There's some other things I've had to limit my time with. When I go back home to visit my mom and dad, I don't go see the old friends that I used to run with anymore unless I have an opportunity to go see them about their soul that they need to be saved. I don't run with them anymore. I might visit them, look for an opportunity because I stay in shape. It's a lot easier to stay in shape spiritually, to stay fit spiritually, than it is to get away from the Lord, to get away from some things and then want to get your way back. If you're here today and you know the Lord and you've ever backslid in your life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Getting away from the Lord and before you realize it, waking up one day that you thought, how in the world did I get here? I've seen it over and over again in ministry. People tell me that. So the best thing that we can do to keep that from happening is to stay spiritually fit. Stay in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Be in church when you can and not providentially hindered. Hang around other believers. The Bible says, gentlemen, iron sharpeneth iron. It's better to be around folks that can lift you up and encourage you in the Lord and in the things of God. Again, back to the physical side. When I was in high school, when I was in college, when I pastored a military church overseas, when I went to the gym, I didn't look for the guy that could only bench press the bar and no weights on it. I wanted a guy that could stack them up and that thing bowed because I wanted to be challenged. And not that I could do it, but they knew how to do it. They knew how to get in that type of shape. They knew what it took. I wanted to get on the elliptical machine and go upstairs or do my jogging to do things upstairs with the guys that I knew that were doing the 5, 6, 8, and 10 miles because I knew I would have to work to keep up with them. And I wanted to be around those that would push me and encourage me. I wanted to lay there on my back with that weight and trying to lift it up. And I've done all I can. I barely get it up. And they say, one more. And then it goes down and hits my chest. And they have to help me get it up. And they say, one more. To push me, to challenge me. Now on the spiritual side, gentlemen, you want to be around the other men that will push you spiritually, that will encourage you to be more like Christ. Ladies, you want to be around the other ladies in the church, other friends that you have that will challenge you spiritually to grow more, to pray more, to get into the Word more, to be your best for the Lord. And that means getting your body under subjection that God may use you more effectively as you serve the Lord. Number two, man, we might not get past two this morning. Am I prepared for Satan's attacks? Am I prepared for Satan's attacks? See, God wants us to be alert for Satan's temptations and attacks. We are to be on guard, to be alert, to be aware. And since we are on the winning side, we need to ask ourselves these questions once in a while. Am I overcoming? Am I an overcomer? Is my body in subjection? And am I prepared for Satan's attacks? Preparing for battle is wise spiritual warfare. Naive inaction is not. Being a former military, and some of you guys also some active duty still, some former military, you know why we were there. We were in training. Our job, we were to prepare to go to battle, hoping and praying that we would never have to, but we needed to be ready. We needed to know our job inside and out. We needed to know how to work with others that are around us. We needed to learn, and one of my jobs in my early career in the military was to work with the Air Force, to work with some of those fighter pilots and calling in bombs and fire of the airs and where they should drop it at was part of my job. And then later in satellite and communications and mainframe systems, keeping up with things, I still had a role if we were in combat. And as working together. And as Christians, it's the same thing. We are going to be under attack at one time or another. We should be prepared. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Dear friends, we need to keep our body in subjection, but we also need to ask, am I prepared for Satan's attacks? And by the way, while I was in the military, there may have been some there, I never remember meeting a soldier that was afraid to go into battle. They were prepared and ready to train to go into battle. And dear friends, we need to face it. I don't wake up looking for Satan to pick a fight with, but I want to be prepared if he shows up. I want to be ready. I want to spend time in the Word. I want to spend time in prayer. And if I'm doing spiritual battle with Satan, I want to have those around me. I want to have friends and colleagues and church family that are praying for me, that I can tell them, look, man, I'm really going through it today. Satan's really been on my case. I could sure use your prayers. Is my body in subjection? Am I prepared for Satan's attack? And let's try to get one more in. Number three, am I steadfast in spirit and in attitude? Am I steadfast in spirit and in attitude? See, we must determine in our heart and mind that we are going to live for God. Not I'm going to try, not I'm going to think about it. I have made up my mind. I am going to live for God. I am going to serve Him. Plainly put, let me help you out, guys. Make up your mind. Make the decision. I will serve the Lord. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make up your mind you're going to do it. I'll make another funny little bit example. I'll pick on myself. The first time I met Princess over here, Miss Michelle, when I saw her, I said to myself, boy, I'm going to marry that gal. And she was with somebody else. We were in Bible college. Met in the stairway right before lunch. All I had to do was see her and hear a little bit of a glimpse of sound of that British accent she had when we first met from living in England for a period of time, or she was just putting it on to get my attention, who knows. But I knew then I was interested. I made up my mind, one way or the other, I want to get to know this gal. God bless me, and some months later, I asked her to marry me. She said no. I asked her to marry 10 more times, and she finally said yes. But I knew what I wanted. Let me ask you, gentlemen, do you want to serve God? Do you want to live for the Lord? Am I steadfast in spirit and in attitude? Have I determined and made up my mind and in my heart that I am going to live for God? Notice our passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Bible tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Ladies, gentlemen, are we pressing toward the mark? Are we moving forward? Are we prepared? I have made that decision. My body is under subjection. I'm prepared for Satan's attack, and I have a steadfast spirit and an attitude that I am going to live for God. I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to do all I can for my family, my friends, my neighbors, my co-workers to see Christ in my life, because I am steadfast in my attitude and in my spirit. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." What is it that's weighing you down? What is it that's hindering you and keeping you from being your best for the Lord Jesus? What is it that is hindering you? What is it that you need to shed that you might be more effective in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul says here that we need to do all that we can. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let me say this real quick. Your race and my race is a little different. Hear me out now. We both are on the winning side. We both are overcomers. We are all desiring to serve and live for the Lord. But the race and the course that God has put me on may be a little different than yours. There may be some variables that are similar, like in witnessing, being faithful, being involved. Those are similar. But there are some things that God may call me to do that He doesn't call you to do. There may be some races the Lord calls you to run that He may not call me to run. Let me give you an example. When we were stationed in Germany in Mannheim, it was in Coleman Barracks, and we had a pastor there by the name of Don Kirk, and he's in heaven today. He died of brain cancer a few years ago, and I can remember being in church under our former pastor, Brother Paul, and we had a lady in our church that stood up every single Sunday before church would close. If pastor didn't ask for a prayer request, she would just wave her hand, and pastor would call her by name and say, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Could you remember my husband in prayer for his salvation, Rob, today before we close?" Every single service, she would timidly raise her hand, "Pray for my husband, pray for my husband." We prayed for her husband for weeks, months, and maybe even a couple of years. Sometime down the road, we got a new pastor in. Again, his name was Don Kirk. Brother Kirk was a mechanic, a welder, a lathe with a metal lathe. There's a lot of things he could do. Just very, very talented. Left that life to go into ministry. And then his wife, the first time she raised her hand and asked for prayer, Brother Kirk said, "Let me see you after service." She went by. He went by and prayed with her and asked her, "What are his hobbies? What are the things that Rob enjoys doing?" It just so happens that Rob was a mechanic for the Army. And so Brother Kirk says, "Okay, I'd like to come by this week for a visit." So he went by that week and said, "Rob, I invited you to church and went through this spiel trying to get him in church and encourage him." He said, "You know, one day I'll come." And of course, he said, "Well, how long have you been telling your wife one day I'll come?" You know, he wasn't quite sure what to say. And then he said, "I'll tell you what, how about if you come to church on Saturday and help me work on a vehicle that's we're having problems with? We got a van that we pick up boys and girls take to the church. We got some things there. I could use some help." Now, Brother Kirk had probably done it by himself. It had just taken 2 or 3 hours longer to do it. But you get where I'm going to. He used a talent. He brought him in. It was cold outside that week. It was in the teens. They were laying on that cold asphalt there on their back, working underneath that truck. And they worked about 6 hours. Could have got it done in 2 hours. But Brother Kirk drew it out. They spent some time. Over the next 4 weeks, every Saturday, Rob was there at the church helping him to work on it. Hasn't showed up to church yet. Out helping him work on those vans, work on that bus. It wasn't long, several weeks in underneath there, Rob looked over the preacher and says, "I got a question." He said, "What that? Why haven't you witnessed to me yet or asked me about my soul?" And Brother Kirk said, "I'm just waiting for the right time. Is now it? Is now it? You're asking." Long story short, within the next 2 weeks, Rob trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Here's the point I'm trying to make. That was Brother Rob's race. It wasn't the former pastor. It wasn't my race to run, even though I knew him from the military. We all have a race to run. God puts people in our path, in our way, that we might witness and minister to as in our race. So let me challenge you and remind you, how is your race going? Are you serving the Lord? Are you living for Him? Are you steadfast in your spirit and attitude as you serve the Lord? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 tells us, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Dear friends, how is your status of being an overcomer? Is your body in subjection? Are you prepared daily for Satan's attack? Just because you're prepared right now doesn't mean you coast tomorrow morning. Are you prepared? Number three, am I steadfast in spirit and in attitude? How's your attitude? How's your approach to serving the Lord? How's your approach to serving others? How holy, how sacred is your Bible time and getting into Scripture? How is your spirit and attitude when it comes to serving the Lord and to serving others? Dear friends, if we are going to be overcomers in this messed up world that we live in, we need to ask ourselves some questions. Today we have looked at three questions, and we'll continue on next week, and I'll add a little more if I need to over the next few weeks if we need to continue down this road. But my question to you this morning before we close: how are you doing spiritually? Would you consider yourself an overcomer? Are you renewing your spirit day by day, each and every day? Is that body under subjection? Are you preparing not with fear and trembling, but knowing I need to be prepared for Satan's attacks? And am I steadfast in spirit and in attitude? I tell you what, folks, I've learned real quick through the years in raising four kids and three of them being girls, attitude is a whole lot. Do we desire to serve the Lord, to live for the Lord? Do you hunger not just to be in church, but to see your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you praying through the week and saying, Lord, use my pastor to stir me, to challenge me, and if I need it, the swift kick in the pants, whatever, help my pastor to give me what I need. Help my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to give me, to encourage me, to challenge me. And Lord, help me to do the same for them. So dear friend, this morning, how is your overcoming status? How are you doing your Christian walk? If God was looking down for a Christian to run a race to reach a family that needs the Lord, to run a race to reach a family that needs to be back in church, would He choose you? Would He call upon you to run that race? Would He call upon you because you're steadfast? Would He call upon you because you're steadfast and faithful and have the right attitude? Would He call upon you because He knows you have your body in subjection and you're prepared for Satan's attacks while you run that race? While you follow that mission that the Lord has for you. Let's stand together for prayer this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we'll pick up there next week and continue down the list. I could preach another hour and finish, but I won't do that to you this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our pianist will begin playing as soon as she's ready. Here's my biggest concern about running a race. My first question is, are you in the race? Are you here today? And maybe you'd raise your hand up and down. Just give me just a minute to ask the question. No one will come to you. Maybe you'd raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not in the race. I don't even know that I'm saved. I don't know where I would spend eternity if I was to die. I don't know where I would spend eternity if the Lord was returned. Preacher, would you pray for me? Anyone like that would slip their hand up and down and say, pastor, pray for me. I do not know where I would spend eternity. Anyone at all? Just slip your hand up and down. Let me pray for you. Maybe here today and Christian, I don't need to know all the ins and outs. I'll just simply ask you this. Are you in the race? Maybe you would say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not running my race like I should. There's room for improvements, and I want God to use me. I want to be picked for a mission, but I know there's some improvement that needs to be done. Preacher, pray for me. Yes, I see that hand. Other hands are going up. Yes, don't be ashamed. No one look up at me and the Lord. The Lord already knows your heart. Yes, I see that hand as well. What about it, dear friends? Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart. Maybe He's put a name, a face in front of you about a mission, an opportunity to run that race, to reach them. If God has spoken to your heart, some have already come to pray, others may need to come. But if God has spoken to your heart about that, why not come this morning? Why not come? Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart about baptism. Why not come and say, preacher, make it public. I need to be baptized. I needed to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Why not come and tell me and share with the congregation to pray for you as you prepare for baptism? Whatever the case may be, maybe you just want to come and say, preacher, pray for me about my salvation. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Whatever it may be, you come. Some folks have already come. Others may need to. Father, you saw the hands that were raised this morning. I pray that you would help them, encourage them. Father, you saw the ones maybe that were a little timid, that was not sure about the question or how to answer. I pray that you speak to their heart. Father, some have come to pray already and others need to. And I pray that you would encourage them, help them to be what you would have them to be. Father, would you have your sweet way during our time of invitation? Work in the midst of your people that they would respond willingly and obediently in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. Our piano's playing. Some have prayed. Some have already come and prayed. Some are already here in the front row praying. If God has spoken to your heart, why not this morning? Come. It could be where you're standing. It can be. Maybe you want to grab somebody with you this morning. But you make the decision where you stand. How is your race? How are you running? Are you prepared? Is your body sanctified? Set apart? Are you allowing the Lord to use you to be effective in ministry and in life? Are you doing those things which God has called us to do? Are you an overcomer? Just a few more minutes while folks pray. Song says, I surrender all. If all hearts and minds are clear, you can look this way. Ms. Stoll's cancer is in remission. She did. Amen. The great physician. She just got news this past week, right? Yes. Yeah, so she thanks us for our prayers for her. And hey, prayer works. It's still in God's hands. It's in His hands. But we do rejoice in knowing that her cancer is in remission. Continue to pray for Ms. Doyle. The Lord regain her strength as well. And help her, Lord, also as she witnesses, reaches out as she has family that's not saved as well. Well, we're so glad you're here, and if all hearts and minds are clear, we'll close a public invitation. But again, I'm available. My phone number is on the handout that you picked up when you came in, or the church number. If no one, the receptionist does not answer the phone, if you'll leave a message, we will get back with you. If you have a question, if you'd like to see me, have any questions about the church, just see me on the way out. We can trade personal cell phone information. I'd be glad to meet with you and talk with you about decisions or questions that you may have. All right, I'm going to make my way to the back here, and I'm going to have some. Brother Leonard, would you lift your voice and ask God's blessings as we dismiss? Oh, one more thing. Keep in prayer. Guess what? The baptismal waters will be stirred again over the next 2 weeks. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're excited about that. Mm-hmm.